Welcome to Bonus Pod. I am not Haley. I am Kyle today, but I am joined by Ross, the Star Wars guy fun. What's up, Ross?
Hey, we're here, and we are, surprise, surprise, going to talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, we've been on a handful of things together, but I don't know if we've certainly never had a one-on-one just chatting Star Wars, as far as I can recall.
I don't think so, but I am looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, because specifically, this would all begin with Star Wars Outlaws, I suppose, right?
Like, right.
It's we want to hear from Ross about Star Wars Outlaws and, you know, what you think and how much you've been playing it. And, like where are, on a basic level, like, have you beaten it?
Yeah, I beat it probably a couple weeks ago now, and I did just about everything you can possibly do in the game. So I have a real thoroughly formed opinion on it, I think.
Oh, good. Okay.
And have you been playing it?
I played it right when it came out. I need to turn my volume up a little bit, though. Let's see. Please let me know if this is turning the volume up sufficiently. Manic T is here now, so we can talk about Star Wars. I very excitedly was, like, eager to get it, and I started it. And I was really enjoying it, but I fell off, and I have not beaten the game. And honestly, I'm trying to think now. Changeling says volume good. Thank you, Changeling. I'm trying to think now what it was that kicked me off. I think it was Astrobot. I think Astrobot just took over my life, and I was very eager to play that. And so I kind of lost my thrust on Star Wars Outlaws. But I do. It is the backlog game of 2024 that I do genuinely think I will go back to and finish, which is the same thing I did with Star Wars Jedi Survivor a couple years ago, or I guess maybe was that just last year? Gosh, that was just last year.
I think it was
year,
just
right?
last
okay.
year. Yeah.
Yeah, where I started and I was like, this is okay. I'm not really loving this. But then when I had around like Christmas time, like where I was off of work at the time, I don't know what this year is going to look like for me because I'm not working at Gameform anymore, but that was where I took the time to play through Jedi Survivor and ended up really enjoying it. But I suspect I will do that with Outlaws this year. But if I don't, please don't get mad at me, Ross. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll give you the same advice I'm giving anyone else I've talked to who says they're kind of dragging on Outlaws and having a hard time finishing it, which is I don't think you will miss anything substantial if you just focus on the story critical missions and do those. I think those are by far the best part of the game, and they're the part that has stuck with me after playing it.
The main story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Well, the main story stuff. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, getting intel about, oh, there's a treasure cache hidden behind a tree at the farm or whatever.
I guess, you know, I sort of hopped over it, but what is, like, how do you feel about Star Wars Outlaws? Like, overall, like, do you like it? Do you hate it? Is it one of the best Star Wars games? Is it one of the worst Star Wars games? Like, where are you with it?
I like it. It's definitely top half of Star Wars games for me. It's not
top
in my
half.
Top five, I don't think. Yes. There have been some bad Star Wars games over the years. As I was, you know, before we talked, I was kind of going through the master list of all Star Wars games ever released, and there's quite a few rotten eggs on that one. But Outlaws, I liked a lot, and it finishes really strongly. I thought, like, the third act, once you have, you know, the whole middle of the game is when you can travel to different planets, and there's a main quest on each planet to recruit a crew member for the big heist that you're trying to get in a position to do. And all of that stuff, I kind of thought it dragged a little bit for me. I was probably trying to do too much open world nonsense. And should have maybe just focused more in on the story missions. But once you get to that third act where you've completed all the recruitment stuff, and there's like three or four final missions that you go on, those are fantastic and by far the strongest part of the game, I thought.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like Jedi Survivor, and I don't think it's like totally unfair to compare the two, because it's like that is a weird corner of Star Wars now are like these big AAA video games. I thought Jedi Survivor similarly like ended really strong. Like I really liked the last bit of Jedi Survivor, and like it made me kind of think after I was done, I was like, okay, I'm glad I stuck with this and decided to see it to its end. And I'm excited to hear you say that about Outlaws, in the sense of like, okay, maybe that will be, maybe I will feel similarly about Outlaws, promising myself that I'll finish it later this year.
Yeah, I hope you will. Like, I feel like Kay is a good protagonist, but I didn't, you know, you have those opening missions and you have a general sense of her attitude, but I didn't really connect with her as a character until the last several missions, when she's getting more, you know, the stakes are higher, I guess, and she's getting more strong interactions with the rest of the cast. And that's when I really started like connecting with her and liking her as a protagonist. So it's if you're a story guy, I think the end of the game will do right by you.
Okay. Yeah, I know you're on your birth certificate, your middle name is the Star Wars guy, right? Ross,
yes.
Star Wars guy, fun. Like, you're engaged with all of Star Wars, like, across the board, right? You're watching, you're keeping up with all the shows and everything.
Yep.
And, okay, because my relationship with Star Wars in 2024 is almost exclusively the video games at this point. I really got so bummed out by, it's funny, I don't even remember the name, whatever the final Star Wars movie that Abrams directed.
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Rise of Skywalker. I don't know that I have ever been so disappointed sitting in a movie theater. Like, truly. Like, like I was like, I think I'm out. It was kind of like how I felt walking out of that movie. And then I watched Obi-Wan. And that was, again, it was one of those things where I was like, I was like watching the last like two or three episodes, and I was like, why am I still here for this? Like, like did nothing for me. So at this point, I'm just kind of like, the TV show stuff, I'm like, I'm kind of out on. Although there's the one that people love. What is it called? The
Andor.
Andor, I have not watched, which is like, I should, right? I should make time for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, like, one of the things I love about Star Wars is that it can be all of these different things. And so like Andor is Star Wars, like through the lens of prestige TV.
Okay.
And like, if you're the type of person who likes prestige TV shows, like very serious, you know, high stakes, you know, dark and stuff, it's like, it's fantastic for that. And it for anybody who's kind of fallen off, especially after Rise of Skywalker, which I will admit also my least favorite of all the Star Wars movies by far. And Ben and I actually did a commentary for that after, you know, like a half year after it came out.
Oh,
and
really?
So you can hear, hear us trying to grapple with, you know, what is this thing? And is there, what do we like about it, if anything? And what, where did it go wrong, if anywhere? Yeah, exactly. There are a few, there are a few things I do really like about it, but overall kind of a mess. But yeah, so Andor, definitely I would say check out, and you gotta give it like four episodes. It is a bit of a slow starter. It seems to be the most prominent complaint about Andor, but I definitely, anybody who's fallen off, and if they like prestige TV, I say Andor is the thing for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in a weird zone with Star Wars. I guess I feel like it doesn't even need to be said, but as like an almost 40-year-old white dude, like, Star Wars is a huge part of my life growing up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like, it's just sort of accepted as like, that guy looks like he likes Star Wars. It's like, yeah, I do. And and now I have found the thing that I want to do in Star Wars is just like hang out in Star Wars. Like, I don't, the TV shows have lost me at this point because it's just like too much going on. I don't know any of these characters, and I don't like, that's why I watched Obi-Wan, because I was like, well, I know that guy at least, you know, and I like Ewan McGregor, but like, I get so lost otherwise. And then my other recent favorite Star Wars experiences is like, my family have done Disney vacations recently, and going to, like, we went to World in 2023 E3, and then we went to Land earlier this year. And okay. to go to the Star Wars area, which is, I forget what it's called. What is the Disney Star
Galaxy's
Wars?
Edge.
Galaxy's Edge. Yeah. Is like...
I was also just there for the first time in January.
Oh,
so
really?
This is,
okay,
yeah.
cool. Yeah. yeah. I, which one? World or Land?
World.
Okay, yeah. Like, I that was some of my favorite, like, stuff about Disney was, like, hanging out in Galaxy's Edge. Just, like, being there. Because, like, the way it works... there is like it's very disconnected from the rest of the park. You literally like yeah. walk through a tunnel and like music fades away, and they it's like they're full on going like we're trying to make you feel like you're in a Star Wars place, and yes. like and that I think and so like I really love that, and like the rides are great. The Star Wars rides are super fun, and like Rise of Resistance is like probably the best Disney
blew my mind
period.
I like, couldn't believe how yeah. awesome it was.
Yeah, it's incredible. And that's why I think the video games have become my primary way to engage with Star Wars, because it's like yeah, you can just be in Star Wars, you know, like you can just
right.
be in the world. And I feel like Outlaws was like the best version of that, even compared to the Respawn games, where it's just like, yeah,
Outlaws
just
is the
there.
Ultimate hanging out in Star Wars
yeah.
experience. Like all the environments are so well detailed and the music is so well done. Yeah. And if you're just like, you can just like wander around. There's like a space station off the main planet that you start on, T'Shara,
yeah.
where there's like there's a cantina on the space station, and the band is playing like this huge jam, and I ended up just standing there and listening to it for yeah. a while because it was so great. Yeah,
I also yeah, it also hit at the right time with me. I'm like bouncing all over the place. I apologize. For after being underwhelmed by Starfield, because Starfield was just so fast travel heavy. Like just the opportunity to get in a ship and go out into space and then come back down like mm-hmm. without fast traveling or like a loading screen. This was like, God, this is just what I want. This is just what I want to do in Star Wars, is like hop in a ship and go fly out to like an Empire, you know, facility and sneak around and then yep. come back. Like that's great. You know?
That's great. Yeah. And like for me, I want to walk into a Star Wars bar and sit down and play Sabacc with some alien weirdos at a table.
Yeah.
And Outlaws really, really gives you the opportunity to do that too.
Are you a big card game guy? Like in general?
I'm typically not, but okay. this has been an insane year for card game video games, because I loved Sabacc. It's a little easy, especially once you unlock ways to cheat in it.
Yeah.
But it's very fun. And then obviously Queen's Blood just blew me away. If Queen's Blood in Rebirth was a standalone game, it would be in my top 10 of the
wow.
year.
Jeez.
So I yeah, that's how much I love that. That was great. And then obviously with Balatro, you know, that's the trifecta of fun card games. Yeah. And I'm usually not a huge card game guy.
What is the Star Wars one called? You just Sabacc.
Sabacc, yep.
What is I am not a card game guy. I am on an island by myself where I happily skipped all the Queen's Blood sequences in Rebirth.
Oh wow.
Didn't want to engage with it. Didn't care. Didn't want to do it. And which is like, I'm alone in this. I don't think anybody else yeah. feels that way. Where I was, every time I was kind of forced to play it, I was like, I don't want to play Queen's Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go and do the tutorial and play a round of Sabacc, and I was like, man, I don't know.
It's hard to spend the mental energy to yeah. like get your mind wrapped around it, right? Is that kind of one of the hurdles for you?
I think so. I think I just need maybe someone like you, Ross, to just like I go play it and you're like, okay, this is how this works. I know you can read all that yeah. tutorial, but like this is how this works, you know?
Right.
Balatro worked for me. Balatro, I did understand. Even as a non-poker player, I just kind of like it. It's so good. Not to sidetrack into Balatro too much, but it's so good at just like rewarding you for even like getting the basics. You know, right. on a very easy yeah, level yeah. where it's like, I think things like Queen's Blood and Sabacc, I was like, well, I'm struggling even with the basics. So I can't even get to that next step. But I don't know. Maybe I need to spend more time with it.
I remember the tutorial wasn't like incredible with Sabacc, but it ends up being a pretty simple game. Before all the, you know, the modifier cards get played in that. But it's it only took me a couple of tries to kind of get my feet under me and figure out the basics. And yeah, if hanging out in Star Wars is your goal, like learning to play Sabacc is going to be great, because like you can get to a point where you get to play against one of the like live action movie characters. I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, yeah, don't spoil it.
But yeah, but you know, you get to play against them in a game, and that ends up being super fun as well.
Is that what they're playing in, like Solo and stuff like that? Like where did Sabacc start?
Yeah, this is like Sabacc has been like part of Star Wars for since the early 90s at least. There's like the first time I remember it is in a novel called The Courtship of Princess Leia, where Han Solo wins a planet
really
in a game of Sabacc.
Like reading, I know, reading right? It's
yeah, yeah. I've got a long history of reading terrible Star Wars books and a few good ones too. So that's great. But yeah, so it's been around a long time. The version in Outlaws is like, you know, kind of a, you know, offshoot version of it that makes it doable for a, you know, an open world video game. So it's like a simplified version of what has been shown in, you know, in the Solo movie and other stuff like that. But it's, you know, they kind of, I think they call it Kessel Sabacc in the game. So It's like, you know, there are offshoot card games in real life and stuff like that. So I guess I bought it.
I guess I was also wondering if they had to invent the rules of the game for Outlaws, right? Or if it was because like if it, you know, in Solo and maybe presumably books and stuff, it's not like they really have to come up with the rules. They just have to come up with the stakes. Right.
Right.
And like, yeah. But here it's like, no, we actually have to. And this has to. I'm guessing that this was the first time it was really thought in that kind of depth for Outlaws, probably.
I think so. Yeah. There has been like a semi-defined rule set in, you know, in the previous appearances, but there was also like a thing where like your cards were like digital, or the cards were digital and they would like change suits and numbers in the middle of the game and stuff like that, which would probably be infuriating in a video game setting. But yes, the one that appears in the game is, I to my understanding, wholly made up for the game. But, you know, it's outer space cards, so it's close enough to call it Sabacc.
They can do whatever they want. Yeah, Crowboy in chat is talking about Pazak in Knights of the Old Republic. I didn't know there was. I haven't played Knights of the Old Republic. I didn't know there was like a card game in Knights of the Old Republic. That's interesting.
Right. Yeah, like a predecessor to Sabacc or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that you and I had talked about when we were sort of getting online to do this is I wanted to sort of do almost a top five Star Wars video games. I guess we could just call it like Kyle and Ross's, right? We can't give it the Min-Max umbrella, but like I just wanted to like break down what we think are the five best Star Wars games. Maybe we can even talk about some of the worst ones too, which you hinted at earlier.
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds great. I've got a list ready here.
Oh, you've got one ready to go. Okay.
Yep.
I will. So I'm actually trying to decide if I have a proper list, because like even when I pitched it, I was like, there's really only one that I need to make sure ends up on the list. Okay. And that is Star Wars Shadows of the Empire for the Nintendo 64. Is a game that I just like unabashedly adore. I cannot tell you that, like, if you've never played that game and you know, bought it on GOG.com and played it, that you would have a fantastic time. Like, I'm not gonna like lie to your face.
Yeah.
But like, I love that game. That game, that's one of the reasons that that Outlaws was like clicking for me early on. I know I have fell off and I haven't gone back to it, and that's Astrobot's fault, as we've established. But one of the reasons I was enjoying Outlaws so much initially was because it gave me that Dash Rendar sort of fantasy of like being a Han Solo-esque character who has their own ship. You know what I mean? Like, that's Shadows of the Empire. So does Shadows of the Empire end up on Ross's list of the top five?
It's not in my top five, but it is an honorable mention. I remember before this game came out, like reading about it in magazines and seeing the promise of a Star Wars, like a Hoth, Battle of Hoth level with snow speeders versus walkers in a 3D environment. And you're reading about that and you're like, how would that even be possible? You know, yeah. this look, you would see, you know, screenshots of it and you're like, how could that happen? And then you play the game and it's, you know, the first level, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like everything that was promised and more. And you're like, I can't believe this exists.
I
loved it just for that. Yeah.
I totally agree that it's like it seemed almost too good to be true. And I remember I was pretty young when I struggled with that level initially. But yeah, the first time that you properly pulled off like shooting the tow cable and flying around AT-AT, I've revisited that game at least somewhat recently. Like within the last 5 years, I think I played through it. And like I still to do that in the game, I feel like it's still pretty freaking great.
You know? That's great. And then it's a pretty ambitious game too. Like there's a lot of different types of things. Like there's obviously the on foot dash Rendar levels, and then there's like a speeder bike a swoop bike on Mos Eisley
Which was always my favorite thing in Return of the Jedi, is like the opportunity to ride a speeder. Like that was like my favorite Star Wars vehicle, weirdly, were like the speeder bikes in Return of the Jedi and like speeding through the jungle. So to have a level in Shadows of the Empire where you did that was like, I don't know, that game just like hit every one of my Star Wars buttons, and like I loved it. And it was also that era where I would just go, you know, come home after school and just pick my favorite level and replay it over and over. Yeah. You know, I've probably played through that game like 20 times, you know?
Yeah. The Shadows of the Empire, it was just like such an exciting time when you're like a teenager and that stuff is coming out. And, you know, the prequels are happening. And as I understand it, like the whole Shadows of the Empire multimedia blitz was like a test run for the prequels, so that Lucasfilm could make sure it had, you know, it could make all these things happen at the same time, because there was the book, the video game, the soundtrack score, which is very bizarre to have, and the comic book. So yeah, they did all that stuff, and it takes place between the movies, and I was like, yes, please, give me this.
I read the book. Like that is the one Star Wars novel I read. Is I was so obsessed with the game that I read the book. Although I never read the comic. Maybe I should make some time for the comic, because I think the comic like follows.
Yeah, the comic is follows a different aspect of the story, and it does have some good swoop bike racing stuff in it. But overall, you know, the comic was maybe my least favorite of the whole multimedia package.
I remember when they started talking about doing episode one and stuff like that, and like, you know, they were re-releasing the films, although I guess it was like they re-released the trilogy and then Shadows of the Empire came out and then like episode one. I when they were like like, you know, and it was like that weird internet era where you didn't really know what, like it was just like weird rumors were happening, and I was like so jazzed about the idea of like they're gonna do a Shadows of the Empire movie.
There's no reliable sources of information why would there not be a movie? Of course there will be a movie. I think Shadows came out before the special editions of the movies, because I think they put Dash Rendar's ship in the sky above Mos Eisley, which was very exciting.
Yeah, because I interviewed a long time ago for Game Informer. I wrote a big piece on Shadows of the Empire. I tracked down the director, and I talked to him, which was awesome. It was like one of my favorite pieces I did at Game Informer. And I remember asking him, I was like, does it bum you out that with, you know, the Abrams stuff coming in, that's like when I was talking to him, that they kind of were like, they drew a line for expanded universe stuff where they're like, yeah, this all doesn't count. And that included Shadows of the Empire. Like Shadows of the Empire doesn't count. And that was the point that he brought up. He's like, well, Dash Rendar's ship is in Return of the Jedi canonically. So like we're still kind of in there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even though, the Outrider, Vary Gooster calls out. But I'm like taking up all the time on Shadows of the Empire, a game that's only got an honorable mention for you. But that's like, that is genuinely my number one. Which, like, acknowledging nostalgia, like, I mean, Jedi Survivor is a lot more fun to play in 2024, but I just love Shadows of the Empire. But Ross, give me some of yours. Like,
one last thing I want to say on Dash Rendar is I can't believe he has not shown up in the new canon yet. And I will not be surprised when he inevitably does someday.
So he's not the character that you play in Sabacc that you didn't want to spoil earlier.
No, he is not. They didn't make the Shadows movie, unfortunately, so no, not a movie character. But yeah, as long as we're talking about things that are, you know, nostalgia based and you wouldn't necessarily play a ton of in this day and age, Star Wars Arcade, the original arcade game from 1983, I think it was.
You're going way back. Okay.
Yeah, it's the vector graphics one that like used actual sound clips from the movie, like Ben Kenobi telling you the Force will be with you always.
I didn't know the Darth Vader clips from the movie. Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, it was for an arcade game at that time. You know, I was like, played it a bunch when I was really, really young. Mm-hmm. It was very cool. You know, if you were to play it in this day and age, you wouldn't play it for more than 15 minutes, but it still does look cool and it still does sound cool. And it's fun to like fly down the trench and see the, you know, the vector graphics coming at you and then blow up the Death Star and all that. So,
yeah, I don't think I've ever actually played it. I don't think, but I do know that, like, I remember that it had the trench run, right? Which is, that was like the big selling point of it, is that you actually did the camera shot where you sort of like fly in and stuff like that. Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, it's very fun, and it did inspire the vector graphics arcade games in universe in Outlaws. Did you play it, any of those in the game? Did you come across those?
I think I played one, but yeah, I didn't even connect those dots. That makes total sense, of course.
Yeah, I just thought it was so cool that now the Star Wars in universe, they have vector graphics arcade games, and I desperately want them to make real life full size versions of those and put them in Galaxy's Edge, because that would
be cool.
Super, super fun. So yeah, that's not my number one, but my first one to throw out for a top five is Star Wars Arcade from 1983.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. That's a good call. I wonder if I wonder if you can play that today. Could I find, is there like a browser version of that? Maybe someone in chat would know. But I bet I could play that just on like a website, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. And I think like if you go to anywhere that's like a retro arcade, like there's one in St. Paul, I think they've got one of these in there too. Yeah.
That would be fun to do. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely worth mentioning. And on that arcade topic, I'm sort of loosely having us just go back and forth here. Did you play Star Wars Trilogy?
Yes. Fun when it came out.
My brother and I, we played the hell out of that game. It was like one of those arcade games where like we went to an arcade and we only had so much money to play, and we just dumped all of our money into that.
And you would have to beat it. Yeah.
If you're unfamiliar, it's like, it's a 3D game. I don't know what year it came out. I could probably Google it.
Probably
that's
late
one I
90s.
Still see around sometimes. You know, I still see that arcade cabinet around here and there. Yep. The Star Wars Trilogy arcade. And it was a bunch of standalone levels that each used just a joystick and a button on the joystick, I think, right? So, like, there was a level where you were on the speeder bikes and you were shooting lasers. I believe there was an X-Wing level where you're flying an X-Wing. But the one that I thought was the coolest was, like, where you would fight Vader with a lightsaber.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You had, like, dual levels, right? Where you had to, like, rotate left or right or up depending on how he was swinging at you.
Yeah, it was like quick time events basically.
Yeah, and, right, yeah,
which I like at the time I didn't fully understand. Like I remember the first couple of times I played it, I died and I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. But then once you figure out that it's like, oh, it flashes on top and you have to push forward so that you'll block with the lightsaber, I remember actually having a lot of fun and also not finding it so incredibly challenging, you know, like it was very it was like reasonable to beat Vader.
Exactly. Yeah, once you knew you know what was going on and you weren't intimidated by the giant Darth Vader staring at you in cutting edge graphics.
That's one of those, like, you know, you always have the dream of like, what arcade cabinets would I put in my house if I just had if I could make my own arcade. That's one that I would go out of my way to try to track down, specifically Star Wars Trilogy Arcade. I would want that in my dream home arcade, you know.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah, need a lot of space for that one too.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Yeah, yeah. What else? What else you got, Ross? What are some other highlights for you?
All right, my next one is what I think is probably the most underrated Star Wars video game, because I don't think many people have played it. It's called X-Wing Alliance, and it came out in 1999, and it is kind of the capstone of all the 90s PC space combat simulator Star Wars games, which started with X-Wing, and then there was TIE Fighter. And then there was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, which was multiplayer in an era where people didn't have good enough internet connections to actually play it.
Okay.
And then X-Wing Alliance came out after that, and I believe it's the last one in the series. And it's like all the lessons that they learned from those previous games into this one, where you play as like a non-affiliated like family during, you know, like around Empire Strikes Back time. Mm-hmm. And you slow, like the storyline is like you're doing like shipping missions and stuff, and then you slowly get drawn into the Rebel Alliance, and then, you know, you're by the end you're fighting at the Return of the Jedi space battle. And it's just, it's a fantastic space simulator combat game. You know, just in the same exact vein as X-Wing and TIE Fighter, mm-hmm. both of which are also fantastic, but a little rougher around the edges, I think. And I just, yeah, I love those games so much. And this one is the best version of those.
Were you playing those like when they came out, or did you come back to those later?
Pretty soon after they came out, my family's PC, so this is like 95 probably, was not good enough to play the music with them. So I'd be like sitting in front of our computer in silence, like not even like playing my CD of Star Wars, you know, soundtrack or anything, but just, you know, just loving it nonetheless. And those games just so great. They're so good that like they made it into like the X-Wing novels that came out soon afterwards. Like they, the way that you controlled your ship was like, you know, transferred as into the book as the way the X-Wing pilots would control it. They'd be like, well, I've got to realign my shield. So I pushed the S key on my display or whatever. Yeah, that's how like influential they were. And they're just, yeah, totally fantastic. Another one that probably doesn't hold up super well in this day and age, but it's probably still fun too.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing those are like iconic like PC game boxes. I remember seeing those.
Yeah.
I was not a PC kid, and it's funny that you just like surfaced a memory for me of like, you know, that mid 90s PC gaming era where it's like I had no control over the PC and upgrading it. I couldn't change, so I just had the PC that we had. And like sound was just always an issue. Like sound was, I could never get sound to work like on anything, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like for TIE Fighter to even run on my family's PC, I had to like go into the system file and like type in something to enable EMS memory. And I'm like, what a terrible idea for like a kid who's, you know, 9 months into having his first computer in his home to try to do.
Yeah,
but it worked, I guess. So, yeah.
You learn something. I saw someone point out, it was like a meme that someone was sharing where it's like, I assume we're somewhat close in age, Ross. I don't know. Maybe you're a lot younger.
Yeah, I'm born in 81. So.
Okay, I'm 85. So we're pretty close. But it's like, we're a weird era where like, we do understand how computers work to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And so like we help our parents and older relatives fix their computers, but then we also can help like the generation behind us fix computers because they don't really understand how computers work because they grew up in like an iPad era.
Exactly. And we're the era where we were kids when we had to just try to figure out how to make things work.
Which is true.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump into the future a little bit. You have a lot of classics here, but I'm gonna throw out for a favorite Star Wars game. It's like a recent one, but like Fallen Order.
It's on my top five.
Shadows of the Empire is like my nostalgia pick, but Fallen Order is probably my number two, even over Survivor, which I did enjoy. But something about Fallen Order was a little bit more streamlined and like a little more novel. Right. Like Survivor is like, yeah, we're going to take what we learned there and make it better in a lot of ways. And they did for sure. But Yeah, I think, I mean, I would really be hard pressed to sort of come up with a better, like, Jedi fantasy fulfillment. Like, you know, like, I don't think it is as fun to be a Jedi in any other video game than it is in Fallen Order, because you have all the abilities and they are actually fun to execute, but there's still a level of challenge there if you want it, because they have all that Dark Souls sort of like design ethos in there. So, like, yeah, Fallen Order would be, like I said, probably my number two. And if you want to, like, and if it becomes a list where it's like, let me recommend a Star Wars game for you to play today, it would probably be Fallen Order before Shadows of the Empire, I think, honestly. Yeah.
I agree. I'm totally in the same boat with you. Fallen Order, I think, is my number one or two. It's hard to say.
Okay, cool.
Right next to X-Wing Alliance. But, yeah, it is just so well-conceived. Like, the whole idea of, like, Cal Kestis has gone through this traumatic event where, like, his father figure, like, his Jedi master was killed, everyone he knew was killed, and he's just, like, trying to survive, and so he's repressed all of his Jedi knowledge and Jedi powers, and sort of, like, as he, you know, confronts his trauma, it's unlocking his memories and his ability to do these things. Is such a good way to do it in a video game that it, for me, that worked perfectly. The whole thing was so true to the spirit of Star Wars, I thought. I loved the stuff on Dathomir with the Night Sister that you recruit into, you know, the party. And, yeah, the whole thing, I love Survivor too, but, yeah, Fallen Order is just, like you said, a little more streamlined and just a little, yeah, a little better in my view. So, great, yeah. Great pick. I love that one.
I feel similarly about it, not as strongly, because I love the Batman Arkham games more, yeah. I would say, but I feel I put them on the same tier of, like, this would be a great video game even if it didn't have the Star Wars license.
Yep.
You know, like, it would just be a great, like, sort of Metroid, Dark Souls kind of sword fighting game, but the fact that the Star Wars license is there just makes it all, it's, you know, it's fun to take out an AT-ST in, like, a boss fight, you know, where it's like, if that was just some bipedal giant monster, that'd still be fun too, but, you know,
but you're like, I'm inside the the AT-AT in that other part, and you're like, I'm running around on Kashyyyk is always going to be fun for me.
I went on the cover story for that game when it was on Game Informer's cover, and I remember them showing us the game and thinking, like, they, one of the things that they're really proud of, as they should have been totally, was like, yeah, we had to design the inside of an AT-AT. Like,
oh,
you know,
okay.
Like, that's never been shown in, like, a movie or anything as far as we know. So it's like, it was fun just to sort of think, just know that they had to be like, what does the inside of this thing look like? And then it's like, and then you get to run around in there and fight some stormtroopers inside of it, which is cool.
Yeah, I could never remember seeing the inside of one of those before, so it's cool. That's
so
cool to hear that it was actually designed for the game. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me now that you say that.
Luke went up in the guts and did something with his
lightsaber. Yeah, he tossed the grenade in there,
right? Didn't he, like, slashes the bottom and throws a grenade in there? Is that what he does? I don't remember.
Yeah, I feel like in a modern movie, if that was made, there'd be a cut to the inside of the AT-AT with all the stormtroopers going like, oh no, as the grenade falls in.
Today was my last day. I was retiring tomorrow. One of those little snipes in there.
Yeah, they don't let you retire in the Empire. But yeah, Fallen Order, so great. And Survivor has won. The best part of Survivor is the part that picks up on, you know, the dynamic of escaping Darth Vader at the end of Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay, I guess they had to get Darth Vader in there, and but the good guys all escape. But that comes back in a very satisfying way and is resolved for Darth Vader's sake in Survivor.
It is both of those games. It is a little bit like Darth doesn't really like need to. I don't really mind. I don't feel like he needs to be here necessarily. You know what I mean? And and I actually quite like the ultimate antagonist of Jedi Survivor, which I won't spoil, but I was genuinely surprised by it. And it's not like some cameo or something like that.
Right.
I just think it's a well executed villain that I actually wanted to defeat, which was cool.
Yes.
You know?
That was, I like that too. And I like, that was the first time we had seen on screen, the process of turning like a lightsaber from a different color to red. If you remember that in Survivor, and then that got shown again in Acolyte, which was fun to see this summer as well.
Yeah, I skipped that one. Should I watch Acolyte? Yeah.
I get it. So, okay. I've got another one on my top five here.
Please.
Rogue Squadron 2, Rogue Leader from 2001.
On the GameCube.
Yes, it's the one that was on the GameCube because the previous one was on N64.
Wait, is that actually, that might be 3. Isn't it?
Three is Rebel Strike, I believe, which came out later in a couple of years later in the GameCube.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. Because Rebel Strike is where it gets real crazy and you're doing like on foot stuff. And okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
which
that
wasn't, didn't work quite as good as the non on foot stuff.
So
the
this was the launch, this was like a GameCube launch title, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
Yes. Okay. I remember it now. Okay. Surprising that, this is the one, this one specifically over the N64 one.
Yes, okay. I didn't play a ton of the N64 one, so I'm sure it was great. But I have much more personal experience with the GameCube one because I bought a GameCube at launch, and then this game is there, and you're like, I can't believe a game can look this good. That was one of the times in my life where I just was like, the jump was so big from N64 to GameCube with this specific type of game that it was amazing. And like, you got to do the trench run in the first mission, I think, which was fun.
And then
a bunch of variety with the other missions, like taking out a Star Destroyer, very cool to do. There were some Y-wing bombing missions that were actually really cool, I thought. And the way the game was designed, where you replay it a ton to get like gold medals, and then gold medals unlock, you know, bonus missions and stuff, was really addicting.
Yeah. My short list I had Rogue Squadron 1 on there.
Okay.
Because I did play that one more on N64, but I'm more than happy to sort of default to this one. Cause it's funny. It's like, I hadn't really thought about this game in a while, and I'm actually pulling up like gameplay footage of it now. And I'm like, you know, I actually did spend quite a bit of time with this game. And it was crazy how good it looked at the time. It still looks, it still looks good looking at it now. Yeah. From what I understand, supposedly, you know, this is a lot of he said, she said, but talking to the director of Shadows of the Empire, he said they basically gave Factor 5, the developer of the two Rogue Squadron games, like the Hoth level from Shadows of the Empire.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like, here's your base.
Yeah.
Like, go, now you can kind of use that to like build the rest of the game. So even though Rogue Squadron is, I think it might owe more to Shadows of the Empire than we realize, maybe, but who knows? I don't know.
I totally believe that. I mean, it's obviously a spiritual, you know, successor at the very least to the Hoth level in Shadows.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was so much fun to do the trench run. You know, I'm down for the trench run in any way, shape, or form, but that one did it particularly well.
It's also nice that it's like for better or worse, it's like, this is the first thing you're doing.
Yeah, you know? Right.
The thing that you want to do the most. Yeah, we'll just get that out of the way first for you. You're welcome.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. So we have four, I think. So we have Star Wars Arcade. I guess I threw Arcade Trilogy on there.
Yes.
So we have, Shadows of the Empire, Arcade Trilogy, Fallen Order, Rogue Squadron 2. I mean, are you not a big KOTOR guy? I never played KOTOR.
That's my last one on my top five, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very fun. It was the first BioWare game I had played. I don't even know, I guess, how many of that, you know, BioWare style RPGs like that they had put out before KOTOR, but it really sunk its teeth in me immediately, and love that style of, like, you know, missions or quests that they're tracking. And you know, this was the first game that I can remember that you got to go to Tatooine and fight a great dragon, which was very fun in KOTOR. And the light and dark, you know, system where if you're a nice guy, you get light side points, and if you're a jerk, you get the dark side points. Obviously a great fit for Star Wars, maybe fits even better with Star Wars than it did in Mass Effect. So it was a lot of fun. And then there was a really good, like, you know, Star Wars style big twist at the end of the game that worked really well for me at the time. And I don't know if that's been spoiled thoroughly at this point.
It has been spoiled for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But we don't have to say it again if you haven't, because they're going to, supposedly, it's funny, KOTOR for me was like, all my friends were playing it. This is really specific story here. I was in a band and we found this local recording studio that we wanted to record music for. And it was expensive and we were like high schoolers and we didn't have any money. But the guy who worked there was like, you know what? I'll give you guys like 2 hours if you give me your copy of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. So our bassist, shout out to Garrett Turner, gave up his copy of Knights of the Old Republic so we could have extra recording time. And I remember we came back like a day or two later and the guy was like asking for like tips how to get unstuck. He was like, when do I get a lightsaber? So that I'll always think of KOTOR through that lens of that weird specific experience, but I never actually played it. Like I bought it. I remember I started it on Xbox like years and years later. And then I bought it on iPad and iOS because I was like, I'll play it on my phone. And I never played it.
Sounds like you should just keep a physical copy on hand for bartering purposes.
Yeah, that's right. If I ever go and join another band.
This is like a Mandalorian style side quest episode where you're like, yes, you can record, but you need to deliver to me this very specific thing.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love that. I don't know what the status of the remake is, but it's like,
that was gonna happen, I guess.
Yeah, it's the perfect type of game where it's like the one I missed, right? And it's like, well, I'll just hold out for the remake so I can get, you know, the modern bells and whistles. But I don't know how that's looking these days, but I would love to.
It's been so long since I've heard of it that I forgot that it was ever even announced.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I never played KOTOR 2, which I know is very popular. My understanding was that it kind of got rushed out, maybe, and it wasn't fully finished.
Yeah.
I don't know how that all went down, but that kind of put me off from playing it.
Yeah, people were, if I remember correctly, were disappointed in the ending. And not because of the narrative, like it's like, oh, I don't like how the story concluded. I think they were frustrated that the story basically didn't conclude.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and then, yeah, Very Gooster shouts out that modders restored it on PC. Yeah, like there is a fan-made sort of acknowledged by the original team mod that like sort of brings it up to where they always wanted it to be. But yeah, at launch it was in rough shape, I know for sure. Yeah. Very buggy, gotcha. Says Crow Boy.
Yeah.
But so we actually have, wait, let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7 Star Wars games that we've brought up. We didn't even bring up the Super Star Wars Super Nintendo games, which I was very fond of.
Those are very fun. I got the NES Star Wars game for Christmas one year, and that's fun, but not super playable.
Right.
But, you know, very cool for the time, and hearing the John Williams music in like 8-bit chiptune is very very nostalgic in two different ways.
Yeah, the Super Star Wars games in particular I always liked because they were just like chaos. Like they were that weird era of like 16-bit programming where it's like, we're just gonna like build a level, we're just gonna put enemies everywhere and good luck.
You better just jump and do that lightsaber spin through every single level.
I think I did beat Return of the Super Star Wars Return of the Jedi. I did one day beat it and it was a colossal pain and it was very difficult, but I did see credits, I think, on that one playing it on easy.
Yeah, that's the only one of those three that I had ever beaten. Okay. And I think maybe it's the only Star Wars video game that lets you play as an Ewok, maybe, until maybe that new Star Wars Hunters game has an Ewok character. But I have fond memories of jumping around as Wicket in the giant, like, vertical Ewok tree stage that it's so easy to fall to your death into.
Yeah, I think you're, unless maybe Battlefront, maybe there's like a, can you like call in Ewoks or something?
Oh yeah, there was a weird Ewoks versus Stormtroopers in the dark mode so in Battlefront. Yeah,
maybe you could play. Yeah, but yeah, let's we can finish up here soon, Ross. But we might. I think we got to like whittle what we've got down to five. Maybe we don't order them necessarily, but I think we got, because like, and I'll like, we didn't even talk about Battlefront because I'm not really a big Battlefront guy. I don't know if you played a lot of Battlefront.
I just played it, you know, because I play pretty much everything Star Wars. But Battlefront 2 had a very fun story mode.
Right.
But not, you know, for me, it wasn't great enough to crack my top five.
Are you talking about like the recent Battlefront 2 or the original?
Yeah, the recent. Yeah, the recent one, Battlefront 2. Okay. Yeah. And then I know, yeah, there's like the mid 2000s ones as well that people loved. Right.
Yep. Yeah. And then there's the start. There's the sort of X-Wing sort of spiritual successor that came out a couple, like
Squadrons.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which that was pretty interesting. I didn't finish that one. I played it in VR a little. I went out of my way to try to play it.
I've heard that was really cool.
It's interesting. I mean, VR, it's fun to be like in an X-Wing, but it's also,
right.
I mean, yeah, it's also tough to do flight in like VR and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So it's tricky.
Yeah. I'm trying. Other important ones that we didn't talk about, obviously Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, crucial.
Yeah, kind of kickstarted the whole Lego thing and was very fun. I want to shout out Darth Maul as an unlockable character in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3.
Yeah, that's
that cool, was fantastic. Cool to see him like spinning his lightsaber during a sweet jump.
Before the sort of Fallen Order, the new Jedi era, there was also... you played as a Jedi, so Star Killer. What the hell was the name of that?
Oh, game? Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed. Thank you. I just couldn't recall, but I remember quite liking the original Force Unleashed. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I like both of them. They were fun. The modern Star Wars games do such a better job of being like actual Star Wars stories that kind of capture the spirit of it, where Force Unleashed was just kind of like roller coaster ride type stuff, but was still a fun time.
But yeah, it was also, yeah, and then the physics of it all, and like it was the first time, like there was like up until Fallen Order, like that was the most fun way to use a lightsaber, I think, for sure.
Yes, and force pushing stormtroopers was a great novelty in that game as well.
Yeah.
I got to mention Rebel Assault. Do you know what I'm talking about with that one? It was like I played it on Sega CD, and it was like a full motion video rail shooter.
Oh my gosh. No, I don't think I've ever seen footage of this.
As was the style at the time, you know, like very, very junky, full motion video cutscenes. And, you know, they got the guy in a Darth Vader suit to like point his finger at some Imperial officers and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's probably a fun, you know, 20 minutes on YouTube of watching the cutscenes of that if you're interested.
And then we haven't talked about Dark Forces either. I never played Dark Forces, which stars
very
a Kyle.
Fun.
Like that, that always, I was always like, whoa, there's a Jedi. There's an official Jedi named Kyle, which I always thought was very cool, but I never got around to playing it. I didn't have a good enough PC.
Yeah, another, I think that just got re-released on modern consoles, so
yeah it might be. I have it downloaded. Like I want to play it. We'll see if I make the time for it, or if I can, in the sense of like, I don't know if going back to that old game, I don't know if I'm gonna have a great time with it. But let's try to, we don't have to number it because that's a whole thing, but maybe we can whittle it down to five to sort of finish out our discussion here.
So Fallen Order has got to be, you know, probably if we were having a number one, that's probably number one between the two of us.
I think so. I think you're right, because we were both like, Fallen Order. How do you feel about Shadows of the Empire? I know it was an honorable mention for you, but it's like a number one for me.
Yeah, let's throw it on there. It was, obviously it's very historically relevant as well with how it inspired the later games. And who doesn't love Prince Xizor? So
we all remember him. We all remember fondly reading that book and then learning that we've been mispronouncing his name the whole time.
Yep.
That's me. That's me being like, that's my pick. Like that one's got to be on there. But Fallen Order we agree on. Shadows of the Empire is mine. So yeah, what would be the next Ross? Like, you know, if I take Shadows of the Empire, what's the one I won't fight you on?
That's got to be X-Wing Alliance. Then.
X-Wing Alliance. Okay. Yeah, I've never even touched that game, so I'm just trusting you on this. If you can imagine, I'm trusting you with Star Wars. It's important.
You're in good hands.
Yeah, I mean, and then like I really like your pick for Rogue Squadron 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have like Rogue Squadron represented. Oh boy, yeah. This Rebel Assault. I'm like looking at gameplay now. This is funky.
Yeah, you're moving the cursor on the screen while video is playing. It's that type of game.
So that brings us to four. We got Fallen Order, Shadows of the Empire, X-Wing Alliance. I'm saying Rogue Squadron, Rogue Leader. I'm kind of like sort of pushing for that one, but I suppose we don't. It doesn't necessarily need to make the cut. And then there's like one more spot, really.
So it's got to be between KOTOR and probably Star Wars Trilogy Arcade, right?
I mean, I feel like even as not having played KOTOR, I feel like it's got to be KOTOR, right?
I mean, I feel like we'll get angry letters if we snap KOTOR.
People but it be does so just, angry they'll you know, write letters instead of just leaving comments.
Exactly.
I feel good about that. Yeah. But man, we gave a lot of other really good shout outs to fantastic Star Wars games.
Yep. And yeah, one thing I would be remiss if I didn't mention the NES version of Empire Strikes Back. I believe in Japan only, Darth Vader turns into a scorpion in the final battle.
I'm familiar with this. Yeah. That's so wild. I would love to know how and why that happened someday. That's incredible.
Yep. Darth Vader, not scary enough.
Yeah. But it's just that perfect thing of like in that era of like, oh, we have the Star Wars license. It's like, well, I don't know. Is Lucas going to like check on us? It's like, no, they're not. It's like, all right, well, we're just going to do whatever we want then.
I've got this great scorpion idea.
Well, Ross, thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for your patience as I figure out tech troubles at the beginning. But
no problem. It's like flying the Millennium Falcon, right?
You got to just bang things around and hope maybe Rey can figure it out if she's hanging out with you in the cockpit. But I want to get back to Outlaws. Like that's where we started this conversation. I want to finish Outlaws. I'm not going to do it now. I got other games I want to play in the short term, but I do see that being one of my end of the year. I always have a couple of those where I'm like, I'm going to get back to this at the end of the year, and I could see Outlaws being it. And I think to your suggestion, I will probably focus on mainline stuff and not try to get too distracted by the side quests and that kind of thing. But thanks for everyone who's tuning in. Thanks for the backstage pass folks and everything. And look out for the Min-Max show later this week. We got some good stuff coming up. So appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll see you. Haley should be back next week. So if you watch this episode and you're like, this, I want Haley back, don't worry, I do too. And she's coming.
We miss her.
We miss her. Cool. All right. Well, thanks, Ross. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.